Hi, I'm Arlene Westerhoff, and welcome to the Prophesy Impact Podcast, the podcast for those who want more. More of walking out your calling with God, more of knowing His ways through you hearing His voice, and more of Him being able to use you to impact your world. The teaching and the interviews on the Prophesy Impact Podcast will give you a unique perspective about the times we're living in and about what you need to do so that you can position yourself for impact. Before I start today, I want to let you know about a prophetic word called "The shaking is not for our destruction, but for change." And it's a prophetic word that gives you a glimpse of what God is shaking us out of, and more importantly, what we're being shaken into. And it's important for everyone who wants their lives to have impact. If you haven't already downloaded it, I want to encourage you to download it for free from my website, arlenewesterhoff.com/2021. Now, at the end of my podcast last week, called Moving from Breakthrough to Victory with God's Favor, I spoke about four things that we need to know about the favor of God. The first is that radical obedience creates a landing strip in our lives for God's favor. The second was that favor is always given with a specific purpose in mind. The third thing that I talked about last week was that God's favor will provoke others to jealousy, but we shouldn't let that stop us. And the last thing that I spoke about last week about God's favor was that it's not just for those who feel strong. It's especially for those who know they're not. And I told you last week that this week, today, I'm going to talk about some of the prophetic preparation processes that God takes us through in our lives. Why? Because God's favor will regularly express itself in a different way to what we think. And we have to be aware of this, especially when things in our lives start to spin out of our control. Now, one of the things I say a lot is that when you get a major prophetic word spoken out over your life, run, and run fast the other direction. Say, for example, that someone comes up to you and prophesies that God is going to make you into a great evangelist. We here in the Western world, we're linear thinkers. And so if someone does that to us, we hear the word and we think, move over Billy Graham, move over Reinhard Bonnke, move over Luis Palau, I'm coming through. Now, of course, we'd never admit it, but that is how we think. We automatically assume that we're going to go directly from where we are to the fulfillment of the word. God, however, doesn't think like that. While we look at the goal, which is the fulfillment, and we start to move directly towards it, God knows our callings, and He looks at all of the things in our lives that are going to keep us from getting to where He wants us to be. And in order to remedy this, He starts to allow things to happen in order to change our characters. And these are the things that I'm going to call His prophetic processes. And the life of Joseph in the Old Testament illustrates this well. Psalm 105, verses 16 through 19, we read, "Moreover, he," that's God, "called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons." And here it comes, verse 19, "Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him." Now, this is a hugely important verse for all of us who want God to use us. Until the time that our word comes to pass, the word of the Lord will surely test us. Joseph's journey started in Genesis chapter 37, when he was 17 years old. And he had a dream, and he told it to his brothers. In verses 6 and 7 of Genesis 37, it said, "So he said to them," that's Joseph, "please hear this dream which I've dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And then Joseph had a second dream. That was his first one. And he had a second dream, and he told it to his brothers and to his fathers. And in verse 9 of that same chapter, we read, "And then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I've dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me.'" What was the reaction of his family members, his brothers? His brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now, without question, it was God who had given Joseph his dreams. But instead of Joseph's brothers bowing down to him, soon after he told them the dream, he found himself at the bottom of a pit looking up at them. They'd thrown him into a pit, and later they sold him into slavery. This is the exact opposite of what was foretold in his dreams. And what Joseph didn't realize is that there was no way that his dreams could be fulfilled if he had stayed where he was. And so God arranged transport to the place where he would use him, and that was Egypt. Now, I'll just repeat it once again. When we get a significant prophetic word spoken out over our lives from the Lord, often the first thing that will happen is exactly the opposite to what we expect. Heaven, however, has a different perspective on what happened to Joseph. Heaven's perspective on what happened to Joseph was completely different than our earthly perspective. Heaven's perspective on what happened to Joseph was completely different than our earthly perspective. Heaven's perspective is found in Psalm 105, verse 17, where it says, "He," that's God, "sent a man before them, Joseph." Earth's perspective, however, was, "He was sold as a slave." Heaven's perspective, Joseph was sent by God. Earth's perspective, he was sold as a slave. That means he was trafficked. However, God's plan was being worked out in the midst of this dismal situation. I said at the beginning of this podcast that God's favor regularly manifests itself different than how we think. And Joseph's life is an example of this. He was sold into slavery. He was framed as an adulterer, and he was forgotten in prison. But every time one of these things happened, we read in the scriptures that the Lord was with Joseph and he gave him favor. In Potiphar's house, Joseph became a successful man. And in prison, God had mercy on him and gave him favor with the prison guard. Now, I said in my podcast last week, the word for favor, the Greek word for favor, means two things. It means to get access to someone's presence, but it also means to get access to someone's power. And we see this in the life of Joseph. In the midst of dire circumstances, God was with him. But also God gave him the strength to remain standing under some grave injustices that had been committed against him in his life. And even though, however, I'm getting back to the main line now, even though, however, God gave Joseph favor with a prison guard, he was still a prisoner, which was even lower than a slave. And so Psalm 105 is really true again, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested Joseph. And through all of this, Joseph managed to keep his heart right with God. If he had allowed bitterness and disappointment to enter and to remain in his heart, he most likely would have died as a slave in Egypt. He didn't know what the way forward would look like, but he pressed into his relationship with God and entrusted his faith to the Lord. Now, the story of Joseph's life shows us several important things that we will need to remember if our lives are going to have an impact. The first one is the importance of good character. Now, I just said, you know, if Joseph had allowed himself to get bitter or disappointed about his circumstances, he probably would have died a slave in Egypt. Humanly speaking, there was no way out of that prison cell. And as far as he knew, his chances were high that he was going to die in prison. However, the mark of Joseph's character is that he continued to walk with God and serve others in the midst of it all. Now, I often use the illustration when talking about the importance of character of a hot air balloon. The flame heats the air inside the balloon and it causes it to rise. However, every hot air balloon also has sandbags that are meant to weigh it down in order to prevent it from going too high. Now, if we compare the hot air balloon to our lives, the flame is God's Holy Spirit who confirms our callings and anoints us. The sandbags, however, are the areas of sin and woundedness that we haven't dealt with. God's calling and the gifts of God will promote us, but the size and the weight of the issues in our lives that we haven't dealt with, or worse yet, won't deal with, ultimately determine how far we're going to go and how far we're going to rise. The gifts of God are free. Character, however, is expensive. And why is that? Because we have to choose to allow God to form our characters. And it's like when someone steps on your toe. The moment between the time you feel the pain and what comes out of your mouth, I often say that's the moment in which we choose to allow God to determine our characters or not. And one of the really, really important things to remember is character is not developed when things are going well. Character is developed when things are going hard in our lives, when we're having a hard time, when things are difficult. And you know what I realized not so long ago? I think that God may see things completely different than we do in this respect. Often the things that we consider mountaintop times in our lives when things are going wonderfully, I'm not sure that God considers them that way. It could very well be that the deep times in our lives, those valley of the shadow of death experiences, those may be what God considers to be the mountaintop experiences in our lives. A second thing that we can learn from the life of Joseph is that it's not just enough to coast along on our giftings. We can't do that. We have to be trained. God used Joseph's time in Potiphar's house to get him his bachelor's degree in organizational management, and God used his time in prison to get him his MBA. In the end, Joseph didn't just get promoted because he was prophetic. He got promoted because he interpreted the dream. And based on his experience, he was able to propose a wise plan, and he had the skills by that time also to see it carried out properly. This really is the time for the manifestation of God's Spirit of both wisdom and revelation. And some of us, the Lord's showing me, may need to go back to school to get the training that we need in order to be able to walk in the fullness of God's call on our lives. A third thing that Joseph's life shows us is that prophetic words are almost never fulfilled in the way that we expect them to be. Even though Joseph had received his dreams from the Lord, he ultimately could have had no way of knowing that God would do it by causing him to become the number two man in all of Egypt. And Egypt at that time was the most powerful empire on the planet. Joseph was just under Pharaoh. Only years after he'd been promoted to this position did he see his dreams fulfilled when his brothers bowed down in front of him. And this so encourages me about the prophetic. God uses his prophets to speak out the words, but only he knows exactly how he's going to fulfill them. I can't tell you the number of times that I have spoken out prophetic words over people in my capacity as a prophet, and they've come back to me and said, "Do you remember that prophetic word that you spoke out over me? Well, God fulfilled it like this and that and that." And I listen, and often I am the one who is the most surprised of the two of us about how God fulfilled that word. Because as prophets, we speak out the words of God as God shows things to us. However, we never really know how they're going to be fulfilled. And that encourages me that the prophetic absolutely and completely comes from God if it's done right. In Romans 8, chapter 19, in the Passion Translation, it says, "The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters." And it's my prayer, as I end this podcast now, that each one of you listening today would say yes to His processes in your lives so that you can manifest Him in a way that brings joy to His heart. Now, next week, I'm going to have a podcast that you don't want to miss, because I'm going to be talking about how we discover what we're passionate about and why this is so important in order for us to have impact. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me on the Prophesy Impact podcast today. I just want to let you know that I really do appreciate you spending your time listening to these podcasts. And it's my intention that these podcasts serve you. Therefore, you can contact me, and I'd encourage you to do that via my website, and I'll give you the web address in just a moment to give me your comments and feedback. What are the things that you want to hear more about that will help you to grow as you prophesy impact? Now, whatever stage of life you're in your life right now, God wants you to know there is more. It's God's time for you, and it's God's time to prophesy impact. And if you've enjoyed the show today, please take the time to subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'd also like to invite you to subscribe to my Arlene Westerhoff YouTube channel. I've got video content on there that will also encourage and build you up. And for those of you who want to see more impact through your lives in 2021, that prophetic word that I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, you can download it from my website, and the web address also for your comments is arlenewesterhoff.com/2021. And finally, don't forget to order my book, Impact, Prophesy, and Change the World. It's available on Amazon. Thank you again, and I look forward to having you join me next week on Prophesy Impact.